Committee to order. Madam Secretary, will you call the roll?
Senators Bates, Monning, Roth, Roth here, Wilk?
Present.
Wilk here, Atkins?
Here.
Atkins here.
Thank you, and I'm aware that two of my colleagues are either on their way, one is still in a different committee, so they will join us as soon as they are able, but in the interest of time, we will go ahead and get started. I am happy to entertain a motion, which we will leave the roll open for others to join on, for items 2, referral of bills, 3 and 4, select committee appointments, 5, subcommittee ratification, items 6 and 7, which are floor acknowledgments, as a motion if someone...
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. We have a motion. Call the roll.
Senators Bates, Monning, Roth, Roth aye, Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk aye, Atkins?
Aye.
Atkins aye.
And we will leave the roll open and pick this up again later. With that, let me go ahead and get started and invite our appointee, Mr. Wade Crowfoot, Secretary of Natural Resources Agency, forward. And Mr. Crowfoot, if you would like to welcome the people that are here with you and go ahead and go into your comments and statement, then we'll turn it over to the committee. Welcome.
Thanks so much. Madam Pro Tem, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to appear today and for your consideration of my confirmation. I am truly honored to be appointed by the governor to serve as Natural Resources Secretary and really excited to share with you my approach to the work. As the Pro Tem invited me, Senate Pro Tem invited me to, I wanted to introduce my family first. My wife, Lisa, give a wave. My daughter, Calla, who is hidden behind the first row, hard at work coloring. She may or may not get very bored with her papa talking. And my mom, Dale, who's visiting from Michigan, her first time in Sacramento, and our good family friend, Tia Levitt Mall. Tia was last in the Capitol in February with a group of seventh graders actually advocating. And over lunch downstairs, she did announce that she's going to be governor one day. So circa 2042 or 2046, probably, given her age. And before I share with you my vision or my approach, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge the women and men at the Natural Resources Agency. We're a big agency, 26 boards, departments, and commissions, 19,000 staff strong. And the progress that I'm excited to share with you today is really the product of their work over years and sometimes decades. And it's been a highlight in my first couple of months on the job to actually meet a lot of staff that I wouldn't have an opportunity to meet in the elevator around the building and learn of their work and their careers, and their passion. So I just want to acknowledge their work. Sometimes it's an honor to be able to talk about the work that that we're doing together, and I just wanted to acknowledge the people that are doing the hard work on the front lines. So from my perspective, it's an important moment for the Natural Resources Agency. On the one hand, we have a range of challenges. Threats to natural resources are growing. As you know, climate change is worsening droughts, floods, wildfires. Sea level rise and coastal erosion threaten our communities and our coastline. Rising temperatures and the so-called heat island complex are going to threaten public health in our communities in years and decades to come. At the same time, our population is growing, you know, upwards of 50 million people over the next couple of decades. Our economy is expanding, already the fifth largest economy in the world. Those are, of course, very good things, but they do place demands on our natural resources, including water and land. And then thirdly, as these challenges have evolved over recent decades, funding has not necessarily kept pace, particularly given federal divestment in areas like water infrastructure. So while we have those challenges to contend with, I think we're really well positioned to tackle them head on. First and foremost, we have a legislature and a governor who have prioritized and continue to prioritize natural resources. Think about wildfire and forest management priority right now, and Senate Bill 901 that's really providing the framework for that as an example. California voters have allocated over $10 billion in the last decade for natural resources. Of course, Proposition 1, the water bond in 2014, most recently Proposition 68 in June. And then maybe most broadly, Californians, from my perspective, really understand what we're working to do on natural resources. and that is protect our environment in ways that actually allow us to utilize our natural resources for the benefit of our quality of life and our economy. So while we have challenges, I think we're really well positioned to address those challenges. There'll be two priorities that will guide or shape a lot of my work, hopefully in coming months and years. One is to help our communities and our natural systems become more resilient to these challenges. So natural resources on the front lines of that real trinity of threats, the floods, the droughts, the wildfires. And I think we need to redouble our efforts in California to protect people, the communities, from those impacts and those threats, and our natural systems and the fish and wildlife that depend on them. We think about the intense focus that the governor and the legislature have on protecting communities from wildfire in the wake of the Camp Fire and the tragedy in Paradise. That's one current compelling example of the resilience, the type of work we need to do building resilience. The second broad priority is to better connect or strengthen the connection between people and nature, people and natural places. I'm really excited to follow the legislature's lead on helping to implement a vision to expand park access to all Californians, particularly those Californians that live in communities that haven't traditionally been able to enjoy parks because they don't have those parks in their communities. So as we begin this work, and as I hope to begin this work, I mean, I'll apply at least four broad principles to these priorities. Number one is to be guided by science. We are lucky to be in California with the research institutions and the academic institutions that we have. Natural resource management is complicated. And so in everything from water to fish and wildlife to forestry, we need to be guided by, you know, objective science and monitoring. Second principle that I really want to bring to the work is to break down silos across departments and agencies. And my experience in state government and local government is oftentimes in such large organizations, there can be really a disconnect among the departments and the agencies. And so while we're all working toward the same ends, oftentimes there's duplication or conflict when we're not working to be integrated. Third principle is to prioritize collaboration with folks outside of government. So to get out of the bubble that is Sacramento and actually understand the impacts of our work on groups like farmers and foresters and environmental conservation groups and community-based organizations. So we need to get out there actually and proactively engage and collaborate with special emphasis on communities that have been excluded from past conversations. So that really speaks to the elevation of equity in environmental justice. And then the fourth principle, I think, which is important in this role, is to build a really strong team. Building on the talented women and men we have at the agency already, my goal is to build a diverse team with a set of leaders that know their work and that want to make change, and then empower them to lead. And I think they need to do really four things. First is really seek to understand all viewpoints on the issues that we face. Secondly is to roll up sleeves and actually directly engage in problem solving and to avoid an approach that would just have us, again, in the resources agency reactive, but much more proactive. Communicate constructively and directly. And then lastly, make decisions in a clear and transparent and decisive way. There's a lot of work to get done. And my goal is for our team to communicate with you all in the legislature, other agencies, stakeholders, gather information we need to, and then really make decisions and make progress implementing the policies made in this building and by the governor. So I look forward to the work and am excited to answer any questions you have.
Well, thank you very much. Let me start with the good senator to my right here, Senator Roth.
Thank you, Madam Pro Tem. Ms. Crowfoot, congratulations. You have a very, very impressive educational background, and seems to me from reviewing your credentials that you're work experience is extremely significant and relevant to the tasks that you have been designated to perform. So congratulations, and I do look forward to making the motion at the appropriate time to confirm your appointment. This is not your first rodeo with respect to having to deal with natural disasters in the state of California. I know you've been deeply involved in that with the prior administration. So, and based on that experience, very, very intense experience, I'm sure, What are our specific options with respect to attempting to reduce the scope of these forest-related disasters that certainly have been our immediate past and look to be our future, perhaps very, very far distant future?
Yeah, so from my perspective, we have to pursue an all-of-the-above approach, and I'll talk about what that means. You know, we're really facing a double whammy when it comes to wildfire threats. On the one hand, we have drier forests. We have an epidemic of tree mortality. We have heightened risks of these mega fires, like we've seen. And at the same time, our development patterns in California have worked to suppress fires, to protect lives over a century. And so we have forests that are really in under threat for the kind of fires we've experienced over the last couple of years. As you know, 2018, easily the most devastating wildfire year in terms of loss of life and property. So part of the answer is actually active management of our forests, both around communities and more broadly at the landscape level. Governor Newsom, on his first full day in office, issued an executive order directing CAL FIRE to identify what are the things that we need to do right now to protect vulnerable communities so we don't have the tragedy of, we minimize the risk of the tragedy of Paradise happening this fire season. And so CAL FIRE issued a set of recommendations, and I'm spending a lot of my time right now working to get 35 emergency projects on the ground around communities to protect 200 vulnerable communities. So there's work in the forest that we need to do, but there's also work in these communities that we need to do. As I had a chance to talk to some of you about, the nature of some of these fires is heavily wind-driven events. So in some cases, you have embers, flaming embers, floating ahead of the fire line 2-3 miles. And so we need to prioritize home hardening. That is things that we can do with our existing housing stock, new housing stock, to protect those homes from igniting. Then we also need to prepare communities. Almost 100 people lost their lives in Paradise. But what's less known in Paradise is that was a community that had really drilled quite extensively on evacuations. And part of the reason why there weren't many more deaths is that actually that community evacuated very quickly. And I would argue that there are a lot of communities in the state vulnerable to wildfire that are not as well prepared. So we have to work, you know, CAL FIRE is part of the solution, but we have to work across agencies with local governments. And I look forward to leading that effort.
Well, we look forward to having you do that. Congratulations again. Thank you, Madam Pro Tem.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We had a conversation about my concern about ag not getting enough water because they take a lot of water and it's only about 2% of GDP, and you assured me that we were going to be good on that. I'm just curious because I heard him this morning for the first time. I might be pronouncing his name. I want to know if you know him or not. He's a professor at UC Davis, Dr. Frank Mitlochner.
Not familiar with him.
It's all about sustainable agriculture and how we can reduce our carbon footprint through that. I'd love to put you guys together. It was incredibly fascinating. His Twitter handle is GHG Guru, and so I started following him today. So I recommend that. So I think that's great. So I want to talk about climate change, obviously, and I'm somebody that believes there is climate change. I mean, I think there's enough data there. Been with farmers in Napa who are changing out their varietals because they can't grow Chardonnay anymore. I've been in Chile where the artisanal fishermen had to change what kind of fish they were catching, and I've been down to JPL, tracking Jason 9, which tracks sea level rise. I think here we do, and how we address it is too much on the regulatory and taxation side, and not enough on the incentive side. Is there any areas where you see where we could be providing incentives to reduce global emissions?
Yeah, I'll answer that question and actually bridge your first comment if I could. So, you know, from my perspective, and certainly taking the lead from the governor, we need a balanced water policy. And a water policy that meets the needs of cities and towns, our economy, agriculture, and the natural environment. And so it's critical that we actually help California agriculture continue to thrive. Some folks throw out a number that says agriculture is only 2% of GDP. Why do they use as much water? And what I answer is, you know, growing food and fiber takes a lot of water, and we obviously all need that. A large region of our economy with 5 million Californians, Central Valley, depends on that as their lifeblood. And of course, the lifeblood of agriculture is water. So while we modernize our water infrastructure, water management, we have to work with agriculture so it has the water, it can continue to thrive. To your point on climate change and where you can actually find incentives, agriculture is a really important sector that's a partner on actually reducing emissions and capturing carbon. We can create incentives for farming practices that actually generate ancillary revenue streams for farmers in ways that actually sequester carbon and provide habitat benefits. This gets talked about as ecosystem services. So when you talk about somebody, a steward or rancher, a farmer, and they're a steward of the land, yes, they're raising food, they might be raising livestock or crops, but they're also making money contributing to other public values, including our climate efforts and providing habitat, for example, to threatened species. So I'm really excited within the agency, and we're not fundamentally a regulatory agency, to really explore where there can be win-win voluntary incentives.
Madam Chair, thank you for the opportunity to ask questions. Looking forward to voting for your confirmation today. Congrats.
Thank you. Senator Bates.
Thank you. And again, Mr. Crowfoot, congratulations. And we had a great conversation when you came and visited us, more impersonally or personally. But I think at that time I spent a lot of time talking to you about two issues, certainly following up on my colleague, Senator Wilk, concerned about climate change and in my community at sea rise. And there is money that's been appropriated through a conservancy, and it's basically gone more north to San Francisco. And I'm hoping that you'll take a look at that in terms of the resources that will be needed in our South Coast areas. We have a lot of, sand replenishment issues. We have revetment issues. So could you speak a little bit about your focus on that as you go forward? Because that's certainly part of the whole comprehensive look at climate change and what it's doing specifically to various regions of our state.
Yeah, absolutely. So first, totally agree. We need to apportion funding across the state. And there has been, I think, a valid criticism in the past across programs that Southern California, most populous region of the state, doesn't get an appropriate share of resource. And I know some entities, including the Strategic Growth Council, have really done a deep dive in understanding how we can be sure that fair apportionment. So yes, absolutely. Resource Agency really allocates a lot of bond funding, and you have my commitment on that. And then on sea level rise, absolutely. This is a huge under-recognized challenge with coastal communities right now and a terribly expensive one. The state's approach and the agency's approach is, number one, to really help local communities understand the science, right? It's terribly complicated. And what communities want to understand is, what will the impact be on our beaches, on our marinas, on our coastal areas? And so we've worked to really take what is complicated planetary science and downscale it so local leaders can actually make decisions on that. And then building off that, our Oceans Protections Council developed essentially like a guidebook or a playbook for decision making on sea level rise. So the goal is to provide a lot of technical expertise to smaller communities that really don't have the resources to have that expertise in-house. But then we now obviously have to help communities be able to afford the changes that they're going to make. And I'll be candid, I don't think that resources exist right now in between local governments and state governments to fully address all the changes that need to be made. But I'm certainly committed to continuing to advance the policies and the guidance, but then also find ways to develop resources to help communities like yours that will be facing this threat of climate change more and more.
Yes. And I think it happened, received a lot of warnings, but all of a sudden it was here. And we've seen it significantly this year, obviously, with the rainfall we've had.
Yep.
Very quickly, second question, and we did discuss the issue of parks, which is another big concern area. in my community, and in particular, again, more of those North San Diego areas where we have local governments that want to partner with state parks on the beach, the state parks along the beaches, and there's not been, let's say, a good cooperative engagement, and I know you have taken a look at that and are committed to, you know, making, bringing more of the locals on board and helping with that. So just on the record, if you'd share your thoughts on that, because it has been actually a problem since I was elected to the Senate. We haven't solved it yet. That was 4 years ago. So
yeah. Well, first of all, I'm really excited and energized to help continue to improve our state parks. Mm-hmm. As I talked about, really connecting people and our outdoors. State parks are really the point of the spear at that. And if you think about, you know, California taxpayers, where you actually, you know, see benefit, parks, state parks, particularly in your district, given all your state beaches, I mean, a huge community asset. I think the Parks Department or state parks has, but also continues to need to take the approach that each park needs to be managed, obviously, to a standard, but also recognizing the local character of those parks and the community groups that are sometimes either formal partners or informal partners, as well as the concessionaires and the vendors who are actually part of the cultural fabric of those parks. And so part of the challenge with the State Parks Department is really working to modernize its systems to ensure strong fiscal oversight of all of its parks. And so how do we modernize those contracts, but sensitive to, you know, those unique concessionaires? So you have my commitment, and I think this is where the kind of the rolling up sleeves nature of the job comes in, which is, you know, my team at the Resources Agency wants to help you all problem solve as you hear community concerns about your parks and other state assets.
Thank you. I think our constituents hearing that, and certainly you've been out there already talking about that, are very excited. So thank you again. Congratulations, and I look forward to supporting you.
Thank you.
Senator Monning.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and welcome, Secretary Crowfoot. It has a nice ring to it. And I want to welcome your family as well and friends and thank them for their support and sharing you with the people of the state of California. I enjoyed our conversation yesterday, and we covered a lot of ground, and you've mentioned some of it today. Big picture, increased costs for fire suppression, more investment in prevention and hardening communities from a public safety protective point of view. Is your agency and the departments you'll direct adequately resourced for the greater demands that climate change is bringing to our state and our planet?
Well, I will tell you and thank you, the legislature and the governor, for actually, through SB 901, you know, allocating $200 million a year for, or proposing to allocate $200 million a year for 5 years. That represents scaled up resources that's going to allow CAL FIRE to do the forest work around these vulnerable communities. But directly, I think it's an open question about how we're going to resource this broader wildfire safety and forest management challenge. We have wildlands in the state, about a third of our state is forested in oaklands, et cetera. And a lot of that, I would argue, needs to be managed. And that's of a scale that frankly dwarfs the general fund's ability. And so then the question is, how do you develop incentives to get local communities and other partners on the land to actually manage the land? And so bioenergy, for example, is one potential solution that's been discussed. I think it's a broad policy dialogue that we have to have in coming years. But I think that, and I know that thanks to the legislature and the governor, we have resources right now that we need to protect these most vulnerable communities.
Thank you. And that's kind of the crisis front. And then there's our ongoing maintenance and deferred maintenance for parks especially, but other resources under your oversight. And look forward to working with you as how we can make sure we're not on the losing end of a treadmill with not investing enough in our deferred maintenance to where the costs continue to rise. Any thoughts on the deferred maintenance challenges?
Well, I think, you know, I'll acknowledge them as a challenge. I mentioned over $10 billion of general obligation bond funding that voters have approved, and that funding is really valuable, and it has generally been for one-time capital investments, which are typically what GO bonds are spent on. And so one area that I'm focused on is really understanding what are the resources we need to operate and maintain our assets, whether it's a park or it's a forest land or, you know, it's a wildlife preserve. Because what we don't want to do is spend a lot of resources on upgrading an asset or developing an asset and then not maintaining it. So that's an area of focus in coming months and years.
Thank you. And then just a final question, if I might. You mentioned fire, flood, and sea rise as crises facing our state. I know you've also addressed the crisis of clean, safe drinking water in close to a million Californians. Briefly, maybe your thoughts on how we prioritize this and what role your agency might play.
And just following the governor's lead on this, you know, I think we all acknowledge the crisis in our midst. It's less directly related to climate change and more directly related to naturally occurring, pollution, contamination over time. But I think most acknowledge it's an issue we have to deal with. The governor said on multiple occasions he's hoping that we can deal with it this year. I think reasonable minds have difference of opinion around how we can address it. Would certainly defer to the policymakers exactly how that gets done. But I just know, giving voice to the governor's intensity on this, we're hoping that we can actually be part of a solution that can ensure that, beginning the end of the year, there's actually a pathway to ensuring those folks that live in homes with toxic water actually will get relief.
Thank you, and I appreciate your ongoing work on that. Look forward to working with you and your agency and your departments. And I would make the motion, but I think my colleague already reserved the space to do that, so I'll defer back to the chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate the time you gave me yesterday to talk about all of these critically important issues. You will be overseeing an agency that has so many direct impacts on so many of our communities and critical issues that we could have spent hours, I think, going into detail. For the record, just so I can do this for not only for people I know in my communities, but other senators, Salt and Sea, very important to any number of our colleagues over the county line from my county, but we get a good view of it from above near Borrego. So that had a wonderful time talking to you about that issue. Certainly, I agree with my colleague on parks and how invaluable those are for us and the commitment we need to make to finding ways to support, and whether it's staffing or any number of things in deferred maintenance. Forestry issues, I really appreciated when I ask you, what are the biggest challenges right now facing you? We know there are many challenges, but that was top of your list, and obviously we're all concerned about that as it relates to our situation of the fires and what we're confronted with on that score. To my colleague, as a Southern Californian who covers the coastal area, the sea level rise issue, thank you for talking about all of these issues. We could have spent hours. And with that, I want to lend to my thanks for the staff that you have who are incredibly responsible and responsive to our calls. You know that, obviously, but I think it's really important to acknowledge you can't do what you do without the folks who head up all of those boards and agencies and who call us back or who respond to our community concerns. So I don't really have any questions. I ask all of them, and my colleagues did a really good job. I just wanted to lend my thanks and my congratulations as we start to bring up folks who will speak in support to begin with. So with that, let me ask those who are here in support of the confirmation of Mr. Crowfoot can get in line here. And I knew that the whole room would stand up. That's a good thing. But I am going to ask, given that you obviously heard comments from everyone of a positive nature, tell me your name, who you're representing, and very brief comments, if you would. I'll let you begin.
Great. Thank you, Senator Atkins. Steve Cruz here on behalf of the San Diego County Water Authority. And pleased to be here in support of the confirmation of Secretary Crowfoot. Some of my talking points are very much in line with what the Secretary mentioned in terms of his work style and being very accessible and direct, his willingness to really roll up his sleeves and work on issues. He also understands issues very well from all parties' perspective, and I think that really allows him to bring folks together and come up with really innovative and creative ideas to solving California's complex water problems, including issues like the Salton Sea. So we very much look forward to working with him and urge support of his confirmation.
Priscilla Quiros, on behalf of Tejon Ranch, in support of the nomination, we look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Terry McHale with Aaron Reed and Associates, representing PEG Professional Engineers in California Government and CAL FIRE Local 2881. We agree with everything that's been said good about him. I think Wade's going to be brilliant. The only thing we worry about is that he's ruining the best hair years of his life. We think he should let it grow a little bit longer. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Danielle Blassett-Hyden with the California Municipal Utilities Association. We represent public water agencies and also publicly owned electric utilities. There are a whole host of issues, many that were brought up today, affecting our members and also the state as a whole. And we really look forward to working with Mr. Crowfoot on those issues in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Pro Tem, members of the committee, Mark Aprea with Aprea and McKaylee on behalf of two of our clients, ChargePoint and Republic Services. First, we want to commend the governor for making the right choice for the Secretary of Natural Resources. We also want to encourage this committee to confirm his appointment. In one of Mr. Crowfoot's prior lives as part of the governor's staff, he regularly met with ChargePoint executives on EV infrastructure matters that were then pending before the PUC. He has led efforts on EV permitting as head of OPR, and those are now being updated and implemented by GoBiz. And throughout that, he has demonstrated that he is a dedicated in his support for climate action. On regards to Republic Services, their experience with Secretary Crowfoot has found that he is always prepared, he's accessible and reasonable, and while my client, Mr. Crowfoot, have not always agreed, they've always been reasonable in their interaction, and for those reasons, we strongly urge your confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Pro Tem and members. I'm Victoria Rome with the Natural Resources Defense Council, and we've had the pleasure of working with Mr. Crowfoot in many of his previous leadership roles, and I just want to note that I think the emphasis on climate resilience and drought resilience is important and unfortunately necessary given that climate change is affecting us all now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members, Pat Moran with Aaron Reed and Associates, representing the California Association of Professional Scientists. We represent 3,000 scientists in state service, many of whom work at Resources Agency, and we're happy to support the appointment and confirmation of Mr. Crowfoot. Thank you.
Rich Gordon with the California Forestry Association, here to support the confirmation of Mr. Crowfoot, and also pledge that as the industry is prepared to work with you on forest health and community resiliency.
Thank you.
Juan Altamirano with Audubon, California. We're in strong support of his nomination and his confirmation. He's been a thoughtful partner in a number of different issues, especially in the Salton Sea, where I think on day one, he hit the ground running and made sure that it was a priority for this administration to make sure that we find a solution necessary to an impending problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Kara Martinson on behalf of the California State Association of Counties here in strong support of the confirmation of Mr. Crowfoot. I just note that he has shown exceptional leadership, particularly in our perspective when he led the governor's tree mortality task force. Anyone that can get the U.S. Forest Service, a bunch of county supervisors, and environmental interests to all talk regularly and collaboratively shows great leadership, and we look forward to continuing to work with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Kim Delfino with Defenders of Wildlife, and I've had the pleasure of working with Secretary Crowfoot for many, many years. I was actually just at the Salton Sea yesterday and actually got the opportunity of viewing it, both going there and back, from the perspective of Anza Borrego, which, by the way, it's really beautiful right now. Well, the flowers are blooming. And so I just, Wade has demonstrated, and I think you've heard this from others, he's committed, he's creative, he's collaborative. These are all important skills with dealing with the very difficult issues that face the state of California with respect to natural resources. We very much look forward to working with him on a variety of issues, water, forest, salt and sea. And wasn't really mentioned much today, but the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and the need to work on getting their house in order through the mission-based budgeting exercise, which I think will be benefited parks greatly, and I think it'll benefit CDFW. Thank you, Wade.
Thank you, and thank you for bringing that up.
Good afternoon, Stacey Heaton with the Rural County Representatives of California here on behalf of our 36 rural counties. And we're very pleased to support the confirmation today of Secretary Crowfoot. We've been working with him for a number of months since his role with Governor Brown on the Tree Mortality Task Force. What our board appreciates about him most is that he is a person of action. When he started on the task force, he got in there and got on the ground with us. We went and we toured the forest together and we looked at bug kill trees and we slogged around, and you tend to bond when you do that. But he went out with our members, visited a number of our counties, and he gets to work. And he saw the urgency in it and really made sure that that task force got up and running and really got work done, and that we all talked and worked and got things accomplished. And we see nothing changing about that in this role going forward, and we really look forward to continuing this relationship with him. And we support him today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. David Guy with Northern California Water, joined today by my colleague, Adam Robin. Support Secretary Crowfoot's confirmation. I think bottom line, he's got the imagination, he's got the passion, he's got the resolve, I think, to really solve the vexing natural resources challenges in California, and I don't think there's anybody better that I can think of to be in that position. So strongly support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Pro Tem, members, my name is Daniel Kim. I'm one of the principals of the Weston Solar Park, which is being developed by the Golden State Clean Energy in a JV partnership with CIM. We are the largest renewable energy project in the United States, located in Kings County, entirely on drainage impaired farmland, and one of the areas in which Mr. Crowfoot is going to be a significant leader in looking at how we deal with the retirement of these lands under the SGMA implementation. And looking forward to working with him and seeing how we can really help Central Valley communities as we convert these lands into higher purpose renewable energy.
Thank you.
Madam Pro Tem, members of the committee, Wendy Ritterbush with the Association of California Water Agencies, or AQUA. We've had such a productive, collaborative relationship in the prior administration and more recently with the Water Foundation. So we just so look forward to continuing that work into the future here, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Madam Pro Tem, members of the committee, I'm Jay Ziegler, the Director of Policy and External Affairs at the Nature Conservancy. Delighted to have had numerous opportunities to work with Secretary Crowfoot in prior roles, and just candidly see no better candidate to lead and integrate the work of this multidisciplinary, sometimes viewed as divided mission department, and really help integrate that department for responsive strategies to address everything from affordable drinking water to how we address climate change and connectivity across public and private lands, and really look forward to his leadership in bringing the department together, and are here in strong support of his nomination. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. Jennifer Fearing here on behalf of the Mountain Lion Foundation, the California Wildlife Officers Foundation, and the California Fish and Game Managers and Supervisors Association. And I was very pleased yesterday to witness Secretary Crowfoot swearing in San Diego's own Samantha Murray to the California Fish and Game Commission yesterday. He's great at swearing in, which is a key role for the secretary. We're also grateful that he's already been accessible and supportive of efforts to resolve compensation and equity issues for California's wildlife officers who protect public safety and who enforce resource protective laws that the legislature sees fit to enact. Often they do it in the face of tremendous risk. So we urge you to confirm Wade to Secretary and congratulate you.
Thank you.
Madam Pro Tem and members, Joe Devine with Platinum Advisors on behalf of the California Fish and Game Wardens Association. Just want to echo everything that Ms. Fearing said. Looking forward to working with you and the department. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Pro Tem. Mark Fenstermaker on behalf of the Sonoma County Water Agency. We're here in strong support and urge the confirmation of Secretary Crowfoot.
Really pleased to hear his focus, his comments around climate resiliency out in Sonoma County. We've certainly experienced many of the effects already of climate change and the fires, the drought, now floods in the past couple of months. So we look forward to working with you, Mr. Crowfoot, on those issues as we go forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Pro Tem and members, Chris Maurer on behalf of Sierra Pacific Industries and Green Diamond Resources Company, very pleased to support Mr. Crowfoot's nomination and look forward to working with you in the future.
Thank you.
Hi, Madam Chair and members. Tony Brunello with California Strategies. I work with the California Forest Carbon Coalition. It's filled with 10 groups like the Yurok Tribe, Sierra Pacific Industries, Conservation Fund, a number of others that sued each other about 20 years ago and now are working together cooperatively in a way that we wouldn't have foreseen about a decade ago. A number of us just came from today as the Forest Fire Wildlife meeting that's happening, and so there was CAL FIRE, OES, and a number of members that were up there that all talked about, most importantly, was to have people work together moving forward to tackle the fire challenges that we have. I can think of nobody better than Wade Crowfoot, who over the 20 years that I know him has been instrumental in bringing parties that I would have never thought come together. So we strongly support Wade as Secretary. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Walker Wright with ENGIE, which is the largest global independent power producer. I've known Wade professionally for a number of years now, as well as personally. I would like to echo the thoughts of everyone else in this room. Wade has a strong history of collaboration and subject matter expertise in solar, water, and fire, and we really look forward to his leadership. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dave Grinnell. In a former life, I used to work with Mr. Crowfoot, and I think he has some really unique abilities, so this is a great choice. Foremost among which, I think there are a few people I can say are able to navigate and strategize through difficult circumstances and crisis situations. And the other thing is his ability to listen to others and find outcomes that most people wouldn't be able to. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Madam Pro Tem and members of the Senate, my name is Brandon Garcia on behalf of California Trout, the California Association of Local Conservation Corps, and CalSTART. I want to echo the support for Secretary Crowfoot. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone here in opposition? Okay, seeing no one else, we have a motion on the floor. Madam Secretary, will you call the roll?
Senators Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Atkins?
Aye.
Atkins, aye.
It is unanimous. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
While we are here, I want to ask Madam Secretary to lift the call on our consent calendar.
Items 2 through 7, Senators Bates.
Aye.
Bates, aye. Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye.
Thank you very much. That was 5-0. And now we are going to go into executive session. Thank you.